If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 14. As we continue in our series, All I Want for Christmas, Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Let's pray. Lord, we're living in a world today where there is not a lot of joy. Living in a time, Lord, where even us Christians are not showing a lot of joy. And I pray, Lord, as we leave this church today, that that joy would be restored by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit and open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. A lot of little kids act like that at Christmas time, don't they? Crying, screaming, jumping for joy like little Cindy Who on a sugar cookie high. But the question is, why is it just kids? Why don't we adults have that kind of joy? Especially us Christians, because we have Jesus. And especially in times like these when the world needs to see the joy of the Lord like nobody's business. Why don't we have that joy? And what do we need to do in order to get that kind of joy for Christmas? The text we have in front of us this morning answers those questions. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called All I Want for Christmas, looking at what everybody really needs and wants for Christmas is Jesus and all the blessings that come along with it. Last week we saw that all we really want for Christmas is the love of Jesus Christ. And today we see that what we want for Christmas also is the joy of Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 14. In this part of Luke chapter 2, the angels appear to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem on that first Christmas Eve. And in our text today, the angels tell them what they need to do in order to have that kind of joy at Christmas. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we can have that exact same kind of joy if we do the exact same things that the shepherds do here. Our text this morning, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, tells us three things that we need to do in order to have that kind of joy at Christmas that God wants us to have. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to have that joy at Christmas, we need to realize that we need it. And that's exactly what the shepherds find out here in verses 8 through 11. Because holy bah humbug people, do we ever need that joy? Amen. Christmas? Again? We got to put Christmas decorations out again this year, because if you put them out, you got to put them away. And some of you haven't even put away your Christmas decorations from last year yet. And what to my wondering eyes did appear? 10 extra pounds on my hips and my rear. And the only way that you will ever have an elf on the shelf is if he cleans your kitchen and does your laundry every night. Holy bah humbug, people. Do we ever need joy? The shepherds here needed some joy. Because all the other Jews in Israel treated him like they had cooties. And because they worked with hides and dead animals, the rabbis considered them unclean. And because crooks would steal and then go herd sheep in the desert to hide out from the cops, the shepherds had a reputation for being thieves. Dirty, lowly, smelly, low-life shepherds. Their testimony was not even allowed in the court of law. You talk about rejects. And herding sheep outside of a little podunk town called Bethlehem. Talking about needing some joy and some Christmas cheer. Well, what do you know? In verse 9, they get it. Because all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to them. And not only that, but the manifest glory of God. The glory that Moses saw in the burning bush. The glory that the Israelites saw in the pillar of fire in the wilderness. The glory of God that dwelt between the wings of the cherubim on top of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And the shepherds are so freaked, it knocks their flocks off because they think they're toast. But verses 10 and 11, the angel says, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy, for to you has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Then all of a sudden the rest of the angel tabernacle choir shows up and sings happy birthday to Jesus. Good news. Not bad news, fake news, Fox News. Good news. The good news about Jesus Christ. There's the joy. The angels were rocking it up in heaven. And God wanted them to bring it down to this earth, and especially to us Christians today. Because just like those shepherds, the world thinks that we're freaks. The world thinks that we're rejects and the scum of the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. But see, we believe the good news too. We beheld His glory too. John chapter 1, verse 14. So the question is, Christians, where's the joy? Where's the joy in our world today? Where's the joy in the United States? Do you know that there is still a shortage of baby formula all over this country? The media is just not reporting it anymore. And you know why? Because, hey, everything is fine. It's all good. Joe Biden said last month the economy is strong as hell. So happy days are here again. Repeat the sounding joy. Where's the joy? Last Tuesday, so-called Pastor Raphael Warnock defeated Herschel Walker in a Senate runoff election in Georgia. But this is what the good pastor said on The View before Election Day.
I get a lot of pushback from people who seem to think that they own the interpretation of the gospel. But I've been studying the scriptures my whole life. As a pastor, I have a profound reverence for life. And as a pastor and a person of faith, I have a deep respect for choice. Black women are dying 3 to 4 times the rate of white women. That's a place where government could show up and address the obvious bias in our healthcare system.
It's what Jesus would do.
I think it's exactly what Jesus.
So what would Jesus do with unborn babies? Just kill them. Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of this Bible, would campaign for killing unborn babies in abortion up to the very nanosecond that they're born. What in the world kind of Jesus is he talking about? But see, we should have joy because at least Raphael Warnock saved our democracy by defeating white supremacy. Where's the joy? Depression rates in this nation have never been higher. 100,000 Americans killed themselves last year by overdose. And for the first time in the history of this country, suicide is the number one killer of 15 to 20-year-olds. Even Peter Robbins, the man who was the voice for Charlie Brown for all those years and all those cartoons, killed himself last January at the age of 65 after fighting his entire life with depression and bipolar and schizophrenia. Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. Where's the joy? And even more importantly, Christians, where is the joy in us? Yes, I know the New World Order and the left is trying to destroy this country and destroy our freedom. And we Christians have got to continue to fight like hell to get people saved and to save this nation. So there is a time to be mad. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 4 says there's also a time to be glad and to have joy. And why? Because life is not just about the problems, it's also about the blessings. And Jesus, and drawing people to Him. And Christians, there is no way in the world that unbelievers are ever going to believe like us if they don't even want to act like us. Joyless Christianity is not Christianity. A joyless Christian is the biggest ad for the devil. And if all the world ever sees us Christians do is walk around like Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh, they're not going to want anything to do with the gospel that we share. And why should they? Christians, we have got to get some joy back into our lives. I don't know. Maybe I'm preaching to myself today. You know what the biggest question Fox River people get about Kevin Garner? Does your pastor ever smile? Here's Andrew Haynes. Some nights I'm here during the week. Him and his daughters are getting ready to go home. I hear him whistling. Joy. You know, I can't even remember the last time I ever whistled. I don't even know if I remember how. Here sits our designated greeter, Julian Houston. Always happy, always smiling, always laughing, always positive. He is a people magnet. Ask him sometime what he had to go through growing up in the South, Nashville, Tennessee, years ago. The man still has joy. You say, well, Kevin, he's got something that you don't. No, I've got exactly the same thing that he does. He just shows it better than I do. Christians, where's that joy like the shepherds had in the story today? You say, well, Kevin, it was easier for people in Bible times. Are you serious? Do you have any idea what things were like in the first century when Jesus was born? Because the Roman Empire had conquered the entire known world and took over Israel in 63 BC and ruled with an iron fist and taxed the Jewish people 60% of everything they made. And not to make the people's lives any better, but just to make the Romans richer. They even taxed single women for not being married. So they make J.B. Pritzker look like Santa Claus. And if you didn't pay your taxes, the Romans came, they took your farm, they took your house, they sold your wife and kids into slavery, and they threw you into prison and left you there for rot. And fat chance ever changing it because you never got to vote on anything. We think elections are rigged here in America. The Roman Empire, there were no elections at all. No human rights, no civil rights, no constitutional rights, no reform, no MAGA movement. You raised a stink, they just killed you. 6 AD, a Jew named Judas the Galilean tried to lead a revolt against Rome. Romans not only crucified him, they crucified every single person who even knew him. So we think it's bad here in the People's Republic of Illinois. And the Roman Emperor when Jesus was born was Caesar Augustus, the Jeffrey Epstein of the first century, because he ruled Rome from a stabbing cabin palace on the island of Capri in the Mediterranean, where he raped and sexually abused thousands and thousands of little boys and girls who were brought to him from all over the world, and then killed them by throwing them off a cliff right behind the castle. And we think Joe Biden's creepy for sniffing little girls' hair. And the Romans did all kinds of crazy, evil things. It was expected for a Roman man to have a wife and at least two mistresses on the side. And abortion was rampant. And women who gave birth to babies that they didn't want just took them out in the woods and let the wolves eat them alive. And slavery was so common. At one time, 70% of the population of the city of Rome were slaves from other parts of the empire. And the Romans had public toilets. And men and women used the same toilet at the same time. And there were no individual stalls. You just sat there and did your business next to a total stranger. And everybody used the same sponge for toilet paper. So the vast majority of people in the empire had intestinal worms. And human urine was collected in buckets on street corners. And the Romans used it for mouthwash and to whiten their teeth. I'm not kidding. And they thought goat manure was energy booster. So water mixed with goat manure, that was your monster drink in the Roman Empire. And because the gods of Rome were just myths, people had nothing to believe in, were so empty inside, the suicide rate in the Roman Empire was 26 times what it is in the United States right now. So as in Rome, do as the Romans do? No, thank you. And the people of Israel were dirt poor. And there wasn't enough food. And Israel was crawling with sickness and disease. And the Jewish people were ruled by a Roman bootlicker named Herod. And the Jews hated him because he wasn't really Jewish. And because he was so evil, he had to have been possessed by the devil. He killed wives, he killed sons, he killed thousands and thousands of Jews who tried to rebel against him, killed all the male babies around Bethlehem when Jesus was born. Anything and anybody he thought was a threat to his power. And the spiritual leadership of Israel was corrupt to the bone. The Pharisees and Sadducees who loved the law of God instead of the God of the law because they came up with thousands of rules that people could not possibly follow. And the high priest and his family controlled all the action at the temple. So if you went to offer a sacrifice at the temple, you had to buy the animal at the temple for greatly inflated prices. And the high priest got a cut of that. And you had to pay for that animal with temple shekels. So you had to exchange your money at loan shark rates. And the high priest got a cut of that too. So Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar had nothing on these guys. And there was slavery, and there was human trafficking, and there was sex trafficking. And the spiritual leadership in Israel did nothing about it because they were making money on it too. Cha-ching, cha-ching. It was all about money, nothing about God. And do you know why things in Israel were so bad? Because the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence with His people, that was supposed to be in the Holy of Holies at the temple, where the priests would take the blood, two of the sacrifices, to offer for the sins of the people. In Jesus' day, the Holy of Holies was totally empty because the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Babylonians way back in 586 B.C. and had never been found. Ichabod, for the glory of God, had departed. And they weren't even smart enough to see it. Dead as a doornail. That's the world that Jesus was born into. That's the world that the angels brought the good news of great joy to. So compared to that, the world we're living in today is like the Shangri-La Da Valley. So don't you dare use that excuse, well, the world is such a bad place, that's why I don't have any joy. Because I try to use that excuse too. But people, listen to me. If those shepherds back then could have the joy of the Lord in that kind of a hellhole of a world, how in the world can we Christians not have joy in the world that we're living in today? If we realize how much we need it. The first thing we need to do in order to have that joy of Christmas time, we've got to understand that we need it. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to have that joy at Christmas time. We not only need to understand that we need it, we also need to realize it only comes from God. And that's also what the shepherds find out here in verses 11 to 14. Happiness depends on what happens to you. Joy depends on what God does for you and in you and to you. Happiness is just a human emotion of man. Joy is a spiritual gift from God. Happiness changes depending on the circumstances. Joy never changes regardless of the circumstances. Happiness is on the outside. Joy is on the inside. Happiness comes to stay. Happiness comes and goes. Joy comes to stay whether you're happy or not. So let me ask you this morning. Do you want happiness that is always going to end, or do you want a joy that is never going to end? Because real joy comes from God and Jesus Christ and from absolutely nothing else. Real joy doesn't come from having money. Free agent pitcher Justin Verlander just signed a 2-year contract with the New York Mets for $86 million. And he's also married to supermodel Kate Upton, who's worth $300 million herself. And yet this is what Justin Verlander said. I have a superstar Hall of Fame career. I'm married to a beautiful supermodel, and I have more money than I can spend in 10 lifetimes. I'm living every guy's dream, and yet there's this empty feeling that goes along with it. And I fight it, but it's always there. No joy. Looks and popularity don't give you joy. Famous swimsuit model Emily Ratajkowski divorced her husband last July. Then she dated Brad Pitt for a while. Then she announced to the world that she was bi. Now she's hooking up with comedian Pete Davidson. This is what Emily Ratajkowski said. I know I was gifted a body and physical tools that are considered attractive and valuable for modeling. But as far as satisfying me or helping me find real love or joy or fulfillment, the looks have been absolutely useless. That woman has a gorgeous body and an empty soul. No joy. Stupid holiday stuff doesn't give you joy. Hefty pumpkin spice scented garbage bags. And folks, they sold out in minutes nationwide when they hit the shelves last October. How in the world can something give you joy if you're supposed to throw it away? Figgy pudding Spam. Mystery pig meat with nutmeg and orange. Listen, you eat that, the only kind of joy you're going to have down in your heart is acid indigestion. The way we do Christmas doesn't give people joy. People think it's cute to involve your pets. People, your pets don't know it's Christmas. People dressing up their dogs to look like reindeer. No wonder your dog knocks your Christmas tree down. That's not joy. That's called cruelty to animals. And look what cats do to Christmas. Oh, Christmas tree, your ornaments are history. That's not joy, that's called a mess. The average family in America right now is waiting over 3 weeks to take their Christmas tree down after Christmas Day because post-Christmas depression is real. Merry Christmas does not last. The way we do Christmas does not give you joy. The true meaning of Christmas is what gives you joy. Because real joy comes from knowing that God has saved you in Jesus Christ. The angel here preaches the gospel, the good news. You have a Savior, Christ the Lord. Last March the 27th, Will Smith smacked Chris Rock at the Oscar ceremonies. And then 2 weeks later, Will Smith got on a plane and flew to India and spent all kinds of time meditating and doing yoga with all the Hindu gurus. This is what Will Smith, though, said afterwards. I spent hours and hours looking inside of myself with the most famous yogis in Hinduism, looking inside myself and trying to cleanse my soul, but it doesn't feel like the guilt has ever been taken away. Of course not, because there's no forgiveness in Hinduism. But see, there is in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Folks, what people need today is not another guru. They don't need another expert. People do not need another social media influencer or community organizer. People don't just need a counselor or a life coach. What people really need for Christmas is a Savior. And they can have that in Jesus Christ. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin and then rose from the dead to give us forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. And no other faith system in the world has that. No other faith system has a God that died to take our sins away. Muhammad and Buddha both died from eating bad food. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Christians, we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. We are saved. We are not going to hell. We've been redeemed. What a story to tell. We've been saved, forgiven, set free, all is well. We are not going to hell. I think somebody here needs to shout. I think somebody needs to stand up here and say, praise the Lord. Lord, restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Do you have that joy? Here sits John and Sidney Haynes and their little baby boy, Grayson, born just this last summer. John and Sidney, let me ask you a question. Would you be willing to sacrifice the life of that little boy in order to save me? And I'll answer for you. Of course they wouldn't. Would they be willing to give that little boy's life to save mine? Of course not. Because this blowhard preacher is already in the twilight of my life. That little guy's just starting out. They do not think that I am worthy of the death of their son. And rightly so. But you know what? God the Father in heaven thought I was worth the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And you know what? He thinks you are too. Because I know there's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room, you're thinking, Kevin, I'm addicted to porn. Kevin, I cheated on my husband. Kevin, I drank and I drugged and I destroyed my marriage and I destroyed my family. Kevin, I've been in same-sex relationships. Kevin, I had an abortion. Do you honestly believe that God would ever forgive me? Listen to me. Absolutely He will. As long as you turn to Him in repentance and faith. The angel said, verse 10, this good news of great joy is for all people, no matter what you did. Because your forgiveness does not depend on what you did. Your forgiveness only depends on what Jesus did for you at the cross when He died in your place and took your sin upon Himself. You receive that today, you'll find out what the joy of Christmas is really all about. There's no Christianity without a cross. There's no Christmas without Christ. And there's no joy without Jesus. Today you can have that joy by having Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's that joy that helps us overcome all the hurts. Dear Abby, Christmas morning, 1957. I can still see the car in our lane coming straight at us. The next thing I remember, I was standing outside the wreck. My brother-in-law trying to get the passenger door open to get to my sister. And when he got it open, she fell out, and all I could see was blood. I then woke up in somebody else's car and could see Mom and Dad in our car, unconscious. My younger brother was in the car with me, crying with a broken arm, and I had a concussion and kept passing out. Next, I remember being at the hospital and being told my mom was dead, and I could see her laid out on a table. But then a man sweeping the floor saw her little finger move, and 3 months later, she finally woke up. There were nine of us in a 1955 Plymouth hit head-on by a drunk driver at 8 a.m. on Christmas morning, 12 miles from Grandma's house. I was 9 years old, and it was something no nine-year-old should have ever had to go through. To this day, I don't go anywhere at Christmas time. Haunted by the ghost of Christmas past. And let me ask you this morning, what is that hurt that's haunting you this Christmas? Actress Sally Fields was sexually molested by her stepfather from the time she was 5 years old. And it was acting and performing and getting on stage in front of people that helped her mentally separate her from what she was going through at home. 69 years later, to this day, the nightmares are still there. And why is it that Jesus can do something about it? Because Hebrews chapter 2 verse 16 says He shared our humanity, which means Jesus went through every single thing that you and I go through. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be rejected. He knows exactly what it's like to be hurt. He knows exactly what it's like to be abused and dumped on and stabbed in the back by the people who are supposed to love you more than anybody else in the whole wide world and didn't. Hebrews 53 verse 3, He was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. You say, nobody knows how you feel? Jesus does. Nobody knows what it's like? Jesus does. Nobody understands what it's like to go through it? Jesus does. In Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4, when Jesus was on that cross, He not only bore our sins, He also bore all of our griefs and sorrows too. And that word bore in the Hebrew means Jesus literally takes the sorrows and the hurt and the burden off of our shoulders, puts it on His own shoulders, and then carries it away so you don't have to carry it at all anymore. Amen. Psalm 147 verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, and He can do exactly the same thing for you. So today you take that hurt, you take that burden, you give it to Jesus Christ, He will start taking it away and He'll start setting you free. That's the joy. Joy at Christmas time that even He can't give you. I realize Santa Claus is a source of joy for millions of kids all over the world who believes that He brings them presents on Christmas Eve. But think about this. Right now there's approximately 2 billion children all over the world under the age of 18. Subtracting the Buddhist kids, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Jewish kids that don't believe in Him, that means there's 378 million kids that do. And figuring 3.5 kids per household, that means Santa has to go to 108 million houses every December the 24th. Now, figuring the turn of the earth and the different time zones, Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with. 108 million homes, that means Santa has to visit 968 homes per second. Which means at every house, Santa's got 1/1000th of a second to park the sleigh, jump out, get down the chimney, fill the stockings, put the presents under the tree, eat all the cookies, get back up the chimney, hop in the sleigh, and get back to the next house. Now, assuming that all the houses are evenly distributed all over the world, that means there's 0.78 miles in between houses, or 77.5 million miles total. And to cover that distance in 31 hours, Santa's sleigh has to travel 650 miles per second, which is 3,000 times the speed of sound. Now, in comparison, the fastest thing ever made by man was the Ulysses space probe that traveled only 27 miles per second. And a regular reindeer can only run 15 miles per hour. And you also have to take into account the payload of the sled. Now, assuming each kid all over the world gets like a medium 2-pound Lego set, that means Santa's sleigh has to weigh about 500,000 tons. A regular reindeer on land can only pull 300 pounds. And even if you assume a flying reindeer can pull 10 times that amount of weight, 8 reindeer ain't going to cut it, not even with Rudolph thrown in. So in order to pull 500,000 tons, Santa needs 360,000 reindeer. But that also adds more tonnage to the payload. So Santa's sleigh plus the reindeer is over 600,000 tons, which is 3 times the weight of the Royal Caribbean Wonder of the Sea, the biggest cruise ship in the history of the whole wide world. Now, 600,000 tons traveling at 650 miles per second creates ginormous wind resistance that would heat up those reindeer like the space shuttle re-entering Earth's atmosphere. So the lead pair of reindeer would be absorbing 14.3 quintillion joules of energy each per second, which means the lead pair of reindeer would instantaneously burst into flames, exposing all the reindeer behind them to the exact same forces, starting a chain reaction of deafening sonic booms all the way down the line, which means Santa's entire reindeer team would be totally vaporized in 4.26 thousandths of a second, or about the time that Santa reaches the fifth house on his trip. And not that that would matter, because Santa Claus, having to accelerate from 0 to 650 miles per second in 0.001 seconds, would be subjected to 17,000 G's of centrifugal force, which means a 250-pound Santa would be instantaneously pinned to the back of his sleigh, hit with 4,451,015 pounds of force, and be instantaneously crushing all of his organs and his bones and turning him into a pink, quivering gob of goo. So, Kevin, you're saying that there's no such thing as Santa Claus. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Now compare that to a simple story about a baby in a manger. The Son of God come to earth in human form. The life of Jesus Christ is a fact, recorded not only by biblical authors, but by secular historians. And yet, in spite of all the mountains of eyewitness testimony, all kinds of people still refuse to believe in Jesus and think He's nothing but a myth. But for those people who are willing, with simple childlike faith, to believe, there is forgiveness, there is salvation, and there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The second thing we need to do in order to have that joy at Christmas time, we need to realize that joy only comes from God. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to have that joy at Christmas time. We not only need to understand that we need it, we not only need to realize it only comes from God, but third, we just have to choose to have it. And that's exactly what the shepherds do here down in verse 20. Because even though they were dumped on by the world, they chose to believe the good news and they chose to act on it by spreading it to other people. And verse 20, what was the result? They praised and glorified God. Joy. And Christians, if we want to have that same kind of joy, we need to do exactly the same things the shepherds did. You can't just sit there and wait for something to happen to make you happy. You've got to choose joy regardless of what is happening to you. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, God commands us to do that. And God, because God knows we wouldn't do it if He didn't command it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I know there's people hearing me right now. You say, Kevin, I can't do that. Yes, you can, especially if you're a Christian. Because you already have the joy of the Lord as one of the gifts of the Spirit. You've just got to choose to live it out. And how do we do that? How do we choose joy? First of all, we've got to focus more on the good news than the bad news. I know there's conservative Christians listening to the sermon right now. And you are into everything from Tucker Carlson to AM 560, from Rumble to BitChute to True Social and everything in between. And I try to listen to some things too. But Christians, listen to me. Once in a while, you just have to turn it off. And it doesn't mean all of a sudden that you're woke or leftist or Bidenary or you're not going to fight for freedom anymore. It just means that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to rejoice in the Lord like He told you to. By focusing more on the positive things and not the constant negative things. Listen, something bad happens. Truth is not what you see out there. Truth is not what you hear in here, even from conservative sources. Truth is not even what you think in here. Truth is what you read in here from God's Word. So when your wife leaves you and your kids tell you that they're gay and trans and the doctor tells you you got a brain tumor and your husband dies 2 weeks after he retires, it's what you know is true in here. It's truth that you get from here that gives you the joy. God is with you, and He will never leave you or forsake you. And God hears every single one of your prayers. And pain and suffering will not last forever. Weepeth last for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. This too shall pass. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have an inheritance in heaven that can never spoil or fade, and he who trusts in Him will never be disappointed. So come hell or high water or J.B. Pritzker or COVID vaccine mandates for all kids in Illinois public schools or your woke sister on Christmas Eve, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will choose joy. Doesn't mean you stop fighting against evil. It just means now you do it with the joy of the Lord. You choose joy. Last November the 30th. Prince and Princess of Wales, big lefties, William and Kate from England were in Boston, Massachusetts to attend a summit on mythical man-made climate change. And what do you know, while they were there, they went to a Celtics game at Boston Garden. And after the game was over, Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla was asked what he thought about having the royal family attend the game. This is what he said.
A non-basketball question. Did you get a chance to meet with the royal family? And if not, how was it like having them there in the building?
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph?
The Prince and Princess of Wales.
Oh, no, I did not. I'm only familiar with one royal family. I don't know too much about that one. Thank you.
The only royal family he knows is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. That's focusing on the good. That's choosing joy. There's people sitting in this church right now. You've got to choose joy for this Christmas. Because I know what some of you are thinking. Kevin, Christmas isn't going to be Christmas because my mom died and she's not going to be there. And my brother's families aren't even talking to each other now. And the grandkids can't come from Oklahoma. Stop it. Don't do it. Because you're setting yourself up to have a blue Christmas. Don't go there. Because Christmas is not about your family. Christmas is about one person and one event. Jesus Christ and Him being born in the world. Period. And if you make Christmas out to be anything other than that, you're going to be as depressed as Ebenezer Scrooge. You don't focus on the family members who aren't there. You focus on the Jesus Christ who is there. You choose joy. Christians, we choose joy no matter what. A husband and a wife were in a really bad car accident. And the husband's face was damaged so bad, he needed to have plastic surgery. And because he couldn't donate his own skin for the skin graft, they needed a skin graft donor. And of course, the wife volunteered right away. And the doctor told the wife the best place to take the skin from was her rear end. So the surgery was successful. Everything was fine. And the couple agreed never to tell anybody where the skin came from. So months later, the husband looks at the wife and says, "Honey, how can I ever thank you for donating your skin to repair my face?" And the wife started laughing and she said, "It was more than worth it." She said, "Every time your mother kisses you on the cheek, it's more than worth it." You choose joy. You choose joy even in your perspective on things. You're not short, you're fun size. Those aren't hot flashes, they're power surges. And think how much money you're saving on your furnace bill. You're not getting old. You're just outliving your warranty. You're not turning gray. You're just growing tinsel for Christmas time. And who needs tattoos when you have varicose veins? You've got a six-pack. There's just a lot of ice around it right now. On Earth, you weigh 220 pounds. But on Mars, you only weigh 145 pounds. So the problem is you're not fat. You're just living on the wrong planet. You choose joy. You choose joy no matter how hard it is. Exactly 1 year ago today, December 4th, 2021, an F4 tornado was bearing down on the town of Carruthers, Missouri. And Trey and Megan Rackley put their three little girls, ages 9, 7, and 3, in a bathtub to try to protect them. And then they texted that picture to their aunt to let them know that they were hunkering down. And the Rackleys had just moved into that house. Hadn't lived in it for 2 weeks. 15 minutes after that picture was taken, the tornado came, ripped that house off the foundation, flung it through the air a mile away, and shake, rattled, and rolled every Rackley family member out of that house. The good news is, little 7-year-old Ava Lynn, EMS found her a half a mile away in a ditch, no injuries whatsoever. And when she got to the hospital, she said this to the doctors: "I was flying around in the tornado and I prayed to Jesus to take care of me. And He spit me out and the tornado spit me out in the mud." Now the bad news is little 9-year-old Aniston was killed. And mom Megan had such catastrophic brain injuries, she's in a coma to this day. My God, people. What do you do when your world comes to an end? What does that father do? How does he be a father and a husband when he loses his 9-year-old daughter and his wife is basically a vegetable? This is what Trey Rackley said. Our hearts are broken with losing our beautiful little daughter and my wife being hurt so bad. But James 1 says, count it all joy when you suffer trials. And we are rejoicing because my 9-year-old Aniston is in heaven. And Jesus protected Avalon through the tornado because he knew she wasn't saved yet like Aniston was. And we rejoice because somehow, in a way we can't understand, God is going to use this hurt to show his mercy and his glory and bring many people to himself. The pain is really there, but the joy of the Lord is there too. And that's the only thing that gets you through it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How many all realize you can still have the joy of the Lord while having a broken heart? Now, Jesus promises one day all the pain and the suffering is going to stop. And John chapter 15, verse 11, then your joy will be full. The only question is, are we willing to wait for it? One day, a husband and father named Don Leach from Des Moines, Iowa, saw a little dog fall out of the back of a pickup truck. And he ran over, and what do you know? It was a little female golden retriever puppy, about 6 months old. So Don Leach ran the driver down, come to find out the guy didn't give a rip about the dogs. He was just selling them for money. So Don Leach says, I'll give you $200 for that little female right there. Guy took the money. Don Leach took the dog home, named her Daisy. And Don and his wife and his kids had another family member for the next 14 years. And Don treated that dog like one of his own kids. Constant love and compassion and training and discipline. And Daisy loved him so much and loved her life so much and loved her home so much, she obeyed him with joy. Every single thing he ever told her to do, she did unfailingly. And Daisy had a special trick that she would do. Don would put a dog biscuit on Daisy's nose, and Daisy would balance that dog biscuit on her nose for as long as it took, until Don snapped his fingers and said, get it, Daisy. She would wag her tail, flip that dog biscuit up in the air with her nose, and then chomp it right down. Just like this chocolate lab does here in the video.
You guys can go out.
Stay.
Look at the drool dripping out of his mouth.
Stay.
Wow, chipping.
Daisy the Wonder Dog. Well, Don Leach was also a troubleshooter electrician for a power company, which meant when the power went out in the middle of the night, he was the one that had to go fix it. Well, one night he was right in the middle of a biscuit trick with Daisy when all of a sudden the phone rang. And the dispatcher said there was an emergency. He had to go out and take care of it. So Don Leach flew out of that house, got in his truck, drove 2 hours to a substation, worked another 3 hours there, and then came home. Long night. Got home 4 o'clock in the morning. Totally wiped out, walked in the kitchen to fix himself a sandwich. And he thought it was funny because Daisy did not meet him at the door. And Daisy always met him at the door when he came home. So he called Daisy's name. No response. He called her name again. He heard a whimpering coming from the living room. Don Leach walked in the living room. There was Daisy still sitting on the floor with a dog biscuit still balanced on her nose. A puddle of drool on the floor at her feet. She'd been waiting for him the whole time. And Don Leach felt so bad, he said, get it, Daisy, get it, Daisy. Snapped his finger, she wagged her tail, flipped that biscuit up with her nose, chomped it right out of midair. Loyal to the core. She had been waiting for him for 7 hours. Just like she was told to. Balancing that dog biscuit on her nose like she was told to. Waiting for him to come back like she was told to. And Don felt so bad, he got down on the floor next to her, gave her all the dog biscuits that she wanted. And she jumped for joy, so happy to see him again, so happy to be with him again, so happy for the life that she had with him. Pure joy, because her master was with her. Christians, this world we live in can be very dark and very scary and very depressing, because Jesus is not physically with us. But he told us he was going to go away. And he also told us he was coming back, but he didn't tell us exactly when that was going to be. So sometimes you're going to have to balance that dog biscuit on your nose a lot longer than what you'd like. But see, when Jesus does come back, we're going to get all the dog biscuits we have ever wanted. And we are going to jump for joy, so happy to see him again, and so happy to be with him again, and so happy for the life that we will have with him. Pure joy, because our master will be with us. So rejoice in the Lord, Christians, because the joy you have now is just a preview of the even greater joy you're going to have then. John chapter 16, verse 22. Jesus said, "Now is your time of sorrow, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and nobody will ever, ever, ever be able to take your joy away from you." Let me ask you this morning, do you have that joy of the Lord this Christmas? Back in 1988, a Western artist named S.S. Riddick painted that picture called Joyful Christ. And you see that picture, it kind of hits you because we don't normally picture Jesus looking like that, do we? Smiling and laughing. And you know why we don't normally picture Jesus looking like that? Because even though we are followers of Jesus, we don't normally look like that, do we? Smiling and laughing. And the question is why? Folks, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering and held the whole weight of the whole world on His shoulders 24/7, 365 while He was here and on earth, if He could still have joy, why can't we have the joy of the Lord? And how do we get it? Psalm chapter 22, verse 3 says, God inhabits the praises of His people. And also Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in His presence is fullness of joy, which means when we praise and worship God, God shows up in His presence and gives us that joy that we need. Psalm 22, verse 3 literally says, God is enthroned on the praises of His people, which means when we worship God, we lift Him up. We lift God up, He lifts us up and gives us that joy that we need at Christmas time. So we're going to do that. If you are here this morning, even if there's something in your life right now that you can't figure out, even if you're mad at God about something, why He hasn't delivered you from something, why He hasn't taken something away from you or somebody that you love, if there's dirt between you and Him because you don't see God releasing you from something, even if you've got a broken heart, I want everybody in this room right now to stand up where you're at. Everybody stand up where you're at. And I want you to close your eyes. I want you to raise one hand up to the Lord. Not a hand to me, not a hand to the people around you, a hand up to Him. Let's praise and worship God and get some of that joy back. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. God, please come this Christmas season and restore unto us the joy of our salvation, that we might have the joy of the Lord again. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.